All right, wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. I believe we begin in chapter 1. We might do quite a bit of reading today. 1 Peter 1:1. In prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Just ask your blessing upon your words. Lord, help us hear your word, Father. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom. Again, we just thank you for all that you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to start in verse 22, I think, just jumping in here. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. I'll just stop there, just interject a little something. Talking about being born again. You know, there's ideas of being born again that you, just because you believe that Jesus died for you, or rose again, that means you're born again. Or you've experienced something. You've experienced forgiveness. But here is a clear understanding of what being born again and how it's produced in us. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. We're born again by hearing the Word of God. It comes through. That's where the power of being born again comes from. Verse 22, it's since you, in obedience to the truth. See, it's not just knowing the truth or hearing about it or understanding it. It's surrendering to it. It's obeying it. It's putting it into effect in your life. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. And the evidence that, just like Jesus said in one place, that they'll know you because of your love one for another. Here it says, in your obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. We're not born again by tradition. We're not born again by rules. We're not born again by laws. We're born again by the Word of God. And the Word of God has laws, rules, and tradition in it. But the truth of the Word of God runs through all of that. We get stumped, we get stopped, we get tangled up in some of the other stuff, but it's the heart of what God is trying to show us here. He's trying to speak to us. His Word, it's by the imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. It says what this is: for all flesh is like grass, and all the glory like the flower of a grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. And that word that was preached to us was Christ. It was Jesus came into the world as the light of the world, and he lights all men, not just by a standard, this is how you do this and this is how you do that. You don't do this and you don't do that. It's the light that guides all men. That's what the light, the truth. This is what endures forever. That's the Word of God. And when we submit ourselves to that and we yield ourselves to that, we are born again. We're transformed. This whole, we'll read on here. Just that's why I want to read quite a bit, because it is all tied together. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. See, how do we take this milk? You know, a lot of times we think meat is whenever you just get right in and really know how to tear it up with the Bible. You really know how to put it all together in the Bible. But the milk, the foundation of all of that, is understanding these principles, these things that he's teaching right here about the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, walking in the light. That's the milk of the Word. You know, we talk about people that are able to have the meat of the Word. And they can have that without ever having the milk, without ever knowing anything about the milk of the Word. So they don't really have it. They just think that they can really understand and know the Bible. But it's this milk of the Word that builds us the foundation. You know, we talk about, I tell people all the time, you know, they're worried about the future. They're worried about what's going to happen next year. They're worried about things. We worry and worry and worry about things all the time. We worry about this person or that person. We worry. And I tell them that the only thing you have to worry about is that you do the very next step that is right in front of you. If you're worried about something that is 10 steps down the road from you, you won't take the first step that's in front of you, and you won't be ready to take the 10th step. You're right to worry about something 10 steps away that you won't be able to do it. Because if you're worrying about that thing 10 steps away and you do not take the step that's right in front of you, your worry is not in vain. It will be rewarded, because you will not be able to accomplish the 10th step. And that's the best thing about worry. It just fulfills itself. It's a prophecy. So you're looking at something way down the road and you don't take the step that's right in front of you, you've just done what you have, a self-fulfilled prophecy. So your worry is just fulfilling itself continually, because it's keeping you from doing the only thing that you're responsible for, and that's taking the next step right in front of you. You know, one of the things that helps people not to worry is to mind the very business, mind their own business, mind the very thing that's right in front of them that they have to do or they're supposed to do. And you take that step, and it's just like walking. You take that step, and then you're ready for the second step, and then the third. That's the milk. That's how we get to drinking the milk. Take the step that's right in front of you. And when we live that way, walking in the light, that's being born again. We're now in tune with God's realm, the spiritual realm. And so we worry about this, we worry about that. But whenever we just walk in the light, we can rest. We can have peace. Because we're not, God's got all that in hand. And the best way that we can take care of that is taking the step right in front of us. You know, the verse that says, to whom much is given, much will be required. And he who gives, I mean, it talks about that to him that's given little, little will be given to him. Whenever we do, the verse, one of the verses says that the Lord was going to give to them that had the most. There was one that didn't, the talents, he gave the one and he took the one away because he didn't trust. And he said, give it to those who were faithful and who performed well. That's the thought I'm trying to get. And they said, Lord, they already have so much. And he said, give it to them anyway. That's the way it is with faith. That's the way it is with trust. That's the way it is with walking in the light. You walk in that light, and instead of it taking away from you, it just adds more to you. So the more we trust in the Lord and act that way, the more the Lord is trustworthy. This song we sang, they that trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. You know, isn't that something? They that trust Him wholly find out how wholly true He is. But you know, it works the same way. If we don't trust Him, we begin to think, we begin to have thoughts that God's not very trustworthy. That it's hard to trust Him. And then the next thing, well, does He even exist? Does it even exist? And you know, it's just like the forgiveness. You know, Jesus, where He, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. The same principle about God works in our trust for Him. The more we trust Him, the more we find He's trustworthy. And the less we trust Him, the more we find He's untrustworthy. And it just builds, and if you keep following that path, pretty soon you just begin, well, is there anything to this at all? Is there anything to this God business? And so we begin to doubt, and we begin to question, and guess what? The more we don't trust Him, the more we find He's untrustworthy. You know, we wonder sometimes how a person could get to believe, like an atheist, that there is no God. You know how you get there? By not believing Him in the first place. You know, it's strange to us sometimes to see people living like there is no God. Living just in complete denial of there being a higher being than ourselves. And we wonder, how in the world could they get to that place? It's really easy. Just start doubting Him every day. Just a little bit. You know, we look out and we see creation. We see the things. We look at a human body. The eye, how the hearing, how all that works. And how there's something in this body that makes this body be able to talk and think. And then when a person dies, the body's still here, the ears are still here, the eyes are still here. But the eyes don't see, the ears can't hear. What happened? What happened? Doesn't that tell you that there's something making it all work? That we can see it working, and then it's not working anymore. There is something spiritual about this world. something that science in all of its power and wonder can't measure what makes this body actually work. They can tell about how the body functions, the heart and the air, and all of those things that make it work like this. They can tell that, but they can't measure when that spirit leaves that body. And now all this, oh well, the heart quit beating. That's what the problem is. But there's something that makes all that happen. There's something that, okay, the heart quits beating. Why don't the mind still function? There's a spiritual thing there. And we recognize that. We see that this thing just didn't pop into nothing. Pop out from nothing. And we believe it. And by believing that, we start thinking about, well, where is this? And so we start seeking, and we believe more. And the more we trust and the more we believe, the Lord shines light on us. And so we take that step, and the more wholly we trust Him, the more trustworthy that we see Him. And it works just the opposite, going the other direction. To the point where human beings don't even believe there's a God. They say, well, everybody believes it. They just don't acknowledge it. No. They might have believed it. But there's people that actually believe He don't exist. And they got there because they don't trust Him. From the very beginning, the little light that they had, they didn't follow it. They rejected it. They hated it. They doubted it. And so they just slowly became farther and farther away, farther and more, doubting Him, distrusting Him. And it grows and it grows and it grows. Just like going the other way. Trusting Him. Worry and doubt. Those are not healthy things. And they come about because we're worried about steps way out in front of us instead of the next one that we're supposed to take. Next time you start worrying about something, just stop and think, what is it that I have to do right now? Because that is all that's required of you. Figuring out the future, understanding the future, understanding all things is not what's important. All that does is cause you to doubt. Whenever you start looking at the future, you begin to think, well, what's God going to do about that? And we start questioning and worrying. The only thing you can control right now is the next step that you take. We get to thinking we're so much bigger than we are that we can control the future, or that we can change things in the future. But when we're where we're supposed to be, just drinking a little milk once in a while, we're taking the next step that God wants for us. Just walking right into it. We might not like the next step. We might not agree with the next step. But that's where trust comes in. And as we take that step, we begin to see, hey, God was a little smarter than we thought He was. God is a little more trustworthy than I thought He was. He just took care of it. Sometimes the things that He puts us, lean not into your own understanding. The Bible says, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That builds more trust. We sometimes are so concerned about understanding everything and knowing everything. That's not our place. I often think of George Washington Carver. He was a smart guy. He was pretty sharp. And he thought he was pretty sharp. Everybody around him thought he was a pretty smart fella. So he was praying. He said, "Lord, show me all the mysteries of the universe." And God gave him a peanut. Said, "Here, you figure this out first." And from that simple little thing there, he found a peanut and developed hundreds of things out of a peanut. Because he was wise enough to see that the universe wasn't his responsibility, but that little peanut was. God showed him all kinds of things in that little peanut. Developed all kinds of inventions from that little peanut. It's just kind of amazing. That's an example of just taking the next step in front of us. There's a little song I sing to the boys once more. Take one step, or put one foot in front of the other. Soon you'll be walking across the floor. But we're worried about, I can't walk. Oh boy, I can't run. And our responsibility is putting one foot in front of the other. It's not even about walking. Just put one foot in front of the other. And then put the other foot in front of the other. It's pretty basic. But if we'll keep that kind of principle and that kind of simplicity and that kind of milk in front of us all the time, we'll be walking. And if we keep that attitude, pretty soon we'll be running. But when we get to thinking, boy, I'm really accomplishing something, we might be back to walking again. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Look at what salvation is talking about here, these things. It's just pretty simple. You know, when we are in eternity, these things are what's going to make it into heaven. People who simply trust the Lord, who love the brethren, who laid aside hypocrisy and envy and malice and deceit and slander. You know, all of those things a lot of times is when we're just trying to fix something. We think we're going to fix something. And when we're trying to fix something, we're not walking. We're not putting one foot in front of the other. We're trying to fix something. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. See, there it comes around again. And we've tasted the kindness of the Lord. How easy it is to be kind to someone else. Because we've tasted it. We've been born again. We've taken those steps. We've drank the milk. We've tasted it. And you know, when you taste the kindness of the Lord, guess what? You begin to see Him as kinder. And kinder and kinder. Just like it goes the other way. whenever we see the Lord, oh, he's mean, he's cruel, he's hard. You know, it's amazing. People, they tell what's in their heart. You can't trust anybody. They'll all lie to you. They'll all steal from you. You know what they're seeing? They're seeing everybody through their own eyes. Oh, and they're crooks. Everybody's just out to get you. It's because that's what they see. Instead of seeing kindness and goodness, they see darkness, untrustworthiness, meanness. And it grows and it grows and it grows. That's how you're the light of the world. When you see the kindness of the Lord, when you see someone, you don't see a criminal getting ready to rob you. You take people at their word. You know, we get taken advantage of sometimes because we just believe people. We just trust people. We want to trust people. That's why it talks later about having to forgive people so often. And that's why we're tested sometimes about forgiving people. It's because we dare to trust. We dare to love. We dare to believe. But if we don't get bitter and angry and upset about it, we can come to know that the Lord is kind. The Lord is trustworthy. The Lord is believable. The Lord is good. And we want to see that in others. I mean, when we're just seeing everything all dark and dreary, we're just kind of preparing ourselves to grow in that aspect, to build on that. And that's what we do. You know, that's why when we get into the world, we see it in the dark and despicable place it is. It's because that's the milk they drank. That's the milk that caused them to grow in the wrong direction. You drink of the world and you drink of Satan's ideas and unbelief in God and His goodness, and you drink on that. And you get to taste it once in a while because you see it happen. And so we get cynical. We get angry about it. We get bitter about it. And we grow in that aspect too. And pretty soon we're eating the meat that he's throwing out. But it's not the meat of the Word of God that endures forever. It's the meat of darkness that destroys us and tears us up. But those principles that we grow by, go in whichever direction we want to take them. Such a blessing. The simplicity that God has laid out for us in these things. If we just take one good step in front of the other, instead of one bad step taking us in the other direction. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I'd just like to share a quote I heard once. It was, how we live our days is how we live our lives. Mm-hmm. Those long shift in one step in front of the other.
Yep. Amen.
I thought about what you said about a little bit of light that's given to us we didn't want, we didn't love, it's very much. direction and how important our attitudes are that have to do with that. You know, you can kind of tell by someone's attitude just a lot about the direction they're going to go if you tell them anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, you know. And whether that's good news to them or they really don't care anything for it. And that attitude in us, those things, you know, the Bible says that the child is known by his doings. And it says it. And so that, you know, an attitude, and or however you want to say it, but that attitude is important for us to cultivate a good attitude, because that sets us to receive truth favorably.
Mm-hmm.
For the voice lesson next Sunday, think of an area in your life where you're challenged to trust the Lord.
Tyler's assignment for us boys was to think of something that helps us to be less selfish and give more to others. And I thought about how if I think about it and realize when I do something that's selfish, that helps me to, you know, that helps me to watch more carefully and, you know, give to others a little more.
One thing that helps me to give and help out is remembering that I've been given a lot and needed help before. So it looks like I have quite a lot to give in order to make up.
Whenever like somebody might get to do something or have something or have any selfish shots, sometimes I'll think, well, it's like life is not about me at all. Like it's about, I gotta help others, even if somebody else doesn't need to work or do some certain job or theirs is easier. It's not about everything being fair.
One thing that helps me not to be selfish is to think to realize that nobody owes me anything, and that I owe other people everything.
It's better to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20. 35.
One thing that helps me is just everybody, I can look up to people that have done it before, and then just nobody owes me anything, and I owe a lot of people a lot of stuff that have helped me through the years.
It's a good thing to give what we like, because it's being selfish when we give something that we don't like and try to get credit for it.
Morning, everyone. I'm going to start reading some verses and see if I can find it here. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Verse 23. It says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' When his disciples heard this, they were very astonished at what he said. And then who can enter the kingdom of heaven? Or who will be saved?" Sorry, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That last verse there is pretty important to me. I really, really like it, because it just, with God anything is possible. And I get to thinking about it, like when I show up to a job, I start looking at all the difficult things and all the worst parts of the job, and it can get a little overwhelming, and job just turns up and looking impossible. But I take the first step in front of me and just keep on plodding right along, and then before long I'm done with the job and I think, wow, that wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I guess God just helps me get through those times, and it shows you with him all things are possible. So that shows that we really need Him to get through these struggles in our life. And kind of like this morning, it's a little bit of a struggle for me for being the first time, but just kind of, I asked Him to help me this morning, and it seems like it's gone all right. But just in this verse, it just shows me that we can get all caught up in our lives and thinking that everything's just really impossible. But then we turn to God, and He helps us just take the next step and keep on pressing through it. And we really need Him in our lives. But anyway, that's kind of the gist of what I had to say this morning. Lord bless y'all.
give love.